thank you very much to Brad and to all of you for just taking a moment to offer a prayer. Very grateful, very humbled by that, and I do covet your prayers over these next few days. I'm not allowed to sing during worship, which is very hard for me, but I've got to try to do my best to just have enough to get through the service. I can tell it's going to be hard today, but hopefully I don't have to do this for a couple weeks. We'll get a little bit of rest. But thank you so much. You know, I said that we kind of did that during the first service, so it wasn't near as surprising this service. But you can feel when people are praying for you. It's a very unique experience when people gather to pray. And sometimes when you're the leader of something, it's hard to ask for help, or it's hard to ask for people to pray for you. But I just thank you so much for doing that and sharing in that moment with me this morning. I will definitely treasure that and carry that over the course of the next few days and weeks as well. Our family, me and Haley and the girls, we are what we call an international family. And what that simply means is that mom and dad did not grow up in the same country. Okay? So from a very early age, our kids get to travel overseas. I know a lot of you probably have dreams and aspirations that one day you want to go and visit another country. But our families, because we're international families, as what we call it, is that we get to do that from a very young age. And we have a few others that are international families as well. I know the Barkers, you know, Matt is from here, April, his wife's from New Zealand. So we have a few people that are what we call international families, which means that we're kind of special. We're not like your boring normal families, okay? But we get to travel a lot from an early age, and our kids get to see things. So instead of going overseas when they're 30 or 40 or whatever it might be, they get to go overseas when they're 3 or 4. And about a year ago, we were making a transit. We had landed in London at London Heathrow Airport, and Heathrow is just a massive airport. It's one of the biggest airports in the world, and you've got to kind of make your way through all these different places to get to where you want to go. And so we'd gotten off the plane, and you got to walk long distances, and we went through passport control, and we did all the things that we were supposed to do. And as we were making our way down to the terminal, the underground terminal, the subway, the trains that will take us into London, you've got to kind of walk through these white corridors, and everybody's sort of moving and shuffling around. And as we turn one of the corners, so it's me and Haley and the two girls, as we turn one of the corners, in the corner, my youngest daughter, Emery, sees this. And she immediately just grabs it and scoops it up. Now, this is not something that we see a stroller go by and that somebody has dropped this, but obviously some child has lost this along the way, or some really unbalanced adult. I'm not quite sure, but I'm assuming probably a child has dropped this, and it's dirty, and it's kind of laying in the corner, and she just instinctively and immediately walks over and scoops it up. And Haley and me, we do what most parents would do. We say, no, 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 put that down, that's dirty, don't touch that. But she has this look in her eyes that, as parents, it's very hard to say no to. And immediately, she names this little beast Lammy. Now, if you're a parent, you get that. If you get a dog, its name's Puppy. If you get a cat, its name's Kitty. This is a lamb, so its name's Lammy. Just instantly, this is Lammy. And she refuses to put it back down. And so Haley and I kind of look at each other, and we finally just say, fine, okay, just put it in one of the bags, and we'll clean it up later, and we'll just take it to where we need to go. Now, we don't know what country Lammy came from. We don't know really how old Lammy is. We don't know anything about Lammy. All that we know is that on that day, in that moment, Lammy joined our family. And Lammy got a free trip all over London and then eventually came back with us to the States. We thought about doing one of those ancestry DNAs for her last Christmas, but we decided against it maybe this Christmas. And we did fill out all the right paperwork, and now Lammy is a citizen. Here's the day Lammy getting her passport. She's now an American, and we adopted her into our family. And if you have young children, you know exactly what this is like and what this means. But I remember that moment because it was such a sweet moment. And it reminds me of another story, a story that begins in Luke chapter 15, where it says, there is a shepherd who had 100 sheep. And this story that Jesus tells in the Gospel of Luke, Luke 15, that he tells three stories about things that were lost, and finally ends it with the story that we all know called the story of the prodigal son. But I want you to see here in Luke 10, because this is going to be some of the background for what we're going to be talking about today. But in Luke chapter 15, beginning in verse 1, it says, "Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathered around Jesus, but the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, 'This man welcomes sinners and eats with them.' Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you had 100 sheep and loses one of them. Don't you leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. And then he calls his friends and his neighbors together and says, 'Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep.' I tell you, in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent." Now, I know that they were not, 100 stuffed animals and one of them went lost. I understand that the story that I saw, that I experienced with my daughter, is not exactly the same as this story. But there is a part of it that is very true, and that is the celebration of finding. We see in this story that the shepherd that finds this lost sheep, this singular sheep that is all alone, it says that there is great celebration and great joy. And I can tell you the only reason why we kept Lammy is because of the reaction that Emery had when she found it. We couldn't say no to that joy and that celebration that was clear in her eyes. Now, this is the story that John wants us to think about as we enter into John chapter 10. Now, John chapter 10 is kind of a tipping point in this gospel. The first nine chapters of the Gospel of John, Jesus is slowly revealing who he is and what he is able to do in this world. But in John chapter 9, the story we talked about last week, we see Jesus healing the man who was born blind. And the Pharisees have a huge reaction to this, and then Jesus starts to share this imagery of what it means to truly see and what it means to be spiritually blind. And he really goes at the Pharisees. Now, I know that we have been taught that the Pharisees are all bad people, and they really aren't. They're actually good people. The problem is that they've lost their way a little bit along their journey. They've allowed what takes place in an institutional level to draw them away from the relationship that God ultimately wants them to have. And they just kind of missed the boat. And in John chapter 10, Jesus is now going to speak specifically to the Pharisees, and listen to the words that he says. In John chapter 10, beginning in verse 1, it says, "Very truly I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in some other way, is a thief or a robber." And that makes sense to us, right? If you pull up to your house, you either kind of go in the garage or you go in the front door, you don't hop over the fence and break in through the back door. You know whose house it is based on how they enter that house. He says, "The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he has brought out all of his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize the stranger's voice." What a beautiful way that Jesus describes the relationship between sheep and shepherd. What he is saying here is that the sheep know the shepherd. The sheep know the shepherd. That's such an important part. Don't you just love the way that it says that that they listen to his voice? They know the shepherd's voice. If somebody else calls them, they will not follow. In fact, In fact, their ears will be alerted that this is not the one that we should follow. And some shepherds, some pens, had more than one shepherd's sheep, four or five different shepherds. And the one shepherd would go in and they would, you know, call out, or they would, you know, play a harmonica, whatever they would do. And those sheep are the ones that would follow them out. They know the voice of the shepherd. And that's what the first indictment against the Pharisees is. You don't really know your sheep. We talk about this as a church staff a lot. We talk about you. We talk about when you're here and when you're not. You're not because we're the attendance police, but because we care about you and we want to make sure that we are not missing anybody, that nobody's fallen through the cracks. We want to have relationship with you. We try to reach out to you. We try to talk to you because we want you to know our voice. If somebody stands up here and just speaks, it's not the same. It's not the same as knowing the voice of the shepherd. Listen how it goes on in verse 11 of John chapter 10. Jesus makes this proclamation: I am the good shepherd. Not the great shepherd. It's not an accolade. It's relational. Just like we sing the words of good, good Father. I am a good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. The hired hand, they're not the shepherd. They don't own the sheep. So when they see danger coming, when they see the wolf coming, they abandon the sheep and run away. And then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and really doesn't care about the sheep. But I'm the good shepherd. I know my sheep. My sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this pen. Jesus is talking about the Gentiles. The Jews are the sheep right now, but one day they will be the Gentiles. I have other sheep that are not of this pen. I must bring them also. They will listen to my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I receive from my Father. A beautiful passage that Jesus is using some of these other parables that he has told along the way to reveal to them a little bit more of who he is. And in John chapter 10, we see the tide is turning. Jesus is not just affirming who he is, he is now pointing to the end of the story, what he is going to do for the sheep of Israel. Now, I've got a few things that I want to share, actually five things that I'm going to share with you today about how we can read this passage and what we can learn from it and grow from it. The first one is this: we have to recognize that we are sheep. Now, you might say, well, that's a little insulting, because sheep are not the brightest animals. Let's be honest, neither are you, okay? People do weird things all the time, but this is kind of important and vital. The relationship between sheep and shepherd. When Jesus is talking to the Pharisees, what he's really saying to them is he's saying, I don't want you to just be legalists. What I want you to be is I want you to be pastors. The greatest translation in modern day of the word pastor is the word shepherd. I want you to be a shepherd to the people, not a judge against the people. And the reason why I want that is because Jesus says, that's what I am doing. But what is very important in the story is that we actually recognize that we are sheep. And I think we spend so much time trying to be the shepherd. Jesus says, I'll be the shepherd. You be the sheep. To put it a nice way, we are lambing. The world uses us, dirties us, soils us, and then tosses us aside, and thousands of people walk by us. But Jesus is the one who stops for the sheep. The second thing is, we have to acknowledge our need for a shepherd. Somebody has to come along and pick us up. Somebody has to see value in us laying off to the side, all soiled and marred, and has to say, you have value. We have to acknowledge that we need a shepherd. I need a shepherd. Yes, I kind of am a shepherd, but I also need a shepherd. All of us need somebody that leads us. All of us need somebody that is bigger than us and greater than us. And when we have this identity of knowing that we are sheep and that we need a shepherd, the third thing is we have to follow the shepherd by listening to his voice, which means we have to silence our own voice. That's a hard thing to do because we like our voice, don't we? We like to listen to me, and my opinion means more than everybody else. And I know I always pick on people, but if you don't believe that, just look on Facebook. People think their opinion means a whole lot. I've got the answer. I know what's going on. But when we follow the shepherd, it quiets that voice inside of us. You know, something, I did all my pre-op stuff. It's kind of funny because right during first service, I got a buzz on my phone. And it was one of those, you know, electronic charts. And it was the results of my COVID test because I had to have that. Wouldn't you like to know? Yeah. It was negative, which is positive. Okay. One of the things they said to me was, we don't know how the surgery is going to affect your voice. There are some risks there. I don't know. That's the only thing that concerns me a little bit. So in a few weeks, I might have a woman's voice, and that'll be really exciting here. Kind of secretly hoping for that one, just because I think it'll be fun. But I do know one thing. I'm very acutely aware that God is going to do what he wants with my voice. And whatever he does, I'm going to try to use that to speak for him. And I think we maybe need to be good listeners, because I'm not always a great listener. We need to be listeners, and we need to follow. And whatever voice God gives each of us, we have to choose how we're going to use that to be like shepherds for other people as well. Number four is this. We have to learn to trust the shepherd. Trust is hard for us. Trust is a difficult thing because we like to be in charge. We like to be in control. We like to know the ins and outs of everything. But when we have a good shepherd, it means we can be good sheep. And we can trust our shepherd. We don't have to worry about being the shepherd. You know how freeing it is to know that all you have to be is a good sheep, and allow the shepherd to be the shepherd, and trust that where he leads us will be the right way. Look, he's generally going to lead us through things that are uncertain and difficult. That's why we call it trust. That's why we call it faith. But he is a good shepherd. He's not going to lead us astray. He's not going to lead us to danger. He's going to take us to where we need to go. And even though as sheep, sometimes we might feel anxious or scared, or why are we going this way? And I don't really want to go here. We have to place our trust in the shepherd. And the last thing, the hardest one for all of us, is this. We have to allow the shepherd to find us when we get lost. All of us are going to get lost. In fact, I'm a little lost. The past 6 months, what's been happening, the way that I've dealt with health, I feel very empty. You feel like you're just pouring out constantly, and you're not putting enough back in. And when you're empty, you tend to wander, and you look for something, and we get a little lost. And I'm sure many of you know exactly what I'm saying. I feel a little lost right now. But there's something beautiful about this John 10 story that allows us to submit our lives and allow the shepherd to find us. You see, when we make these inner vows, when we have these words, I'll never let somebody hurt me, I'll never have this happen in my life, and we make all these vows during difficult times, what we do is we really create places that we hide. And sometimes what we have to say is, you know what, I'm a little lost. I don't know where I'm going. I'm not quite sure where I'm supposed to turn here. We slow down and we allow the shepherd to find us. And there's only one place that that seems to happen throughout the pages of Scripture. We are found at the feet of Jesus. When you read the Gospels, there are countless stories of people who come and fall down at the feet of Jesus. And they're found. You know, when we talk about recalibrating our lives, and maybe that's the word we need to use, that all of us need to recalibrate our lives a little bit. You don't recalibrate your life by going up. You recalibrate your life by going down and getting centered and finding your bearings. And that's what happens at the feet of Jesus, is that we get to recalibrate our lives. We get to start over. And it's not comfortable for us to get on our knees. It's not comfortable for us to reach out to the feet of Jesus. That's not where we're most comfortable. And yet that's the only place that we get to start over. I love this picture that represents what happens in John 8 with this woman who comes to Jesus and she reaches out to him. And her life is lost and broken and she's made every mistake possible, but there is this recalibration that takes place in her life and it happens at the feet of Jesus. That's the only place it can happen. You can't have a 5-step plan to recalibrate your life. It only starts when we stop and we surrender and we come to the feet of Jesus. And I think we all need that. We need that moment where Jesus finds us. Because we're off to the side and we're dirty. And just like we did with Lammy, we picked her up, we took her home, we washed her. She became one of us. She was accepted and loved. Maybe right now you feel like you're off to the side. So many people that you thought would stop didn't. But today, Jesus walks right to you. And no matter how many people warn, don't touch him, don't pick her up, just leave her where she is. Jesus says, no. This is the one that I want. And that's you. And that's me. Because we're Lammy. We have an opportunity to be found at the feet of Jesus. I'm not great at offering invitations at churches. It's just not my gift. But I feel that we need a recalibration at the feet of Jesus. So I want to invite you during a moment of worship to just come down front, to just get on your knees, symbolically come into the feet of Jesus, knowing that he loves you, that you have value, that he wants nothing more than to just scoop you up. Start at the feet of Jesus, because he is a good shepherd who takes care of his sheep. Let's pray. Father, thank you for silly and funny images that maybe just make us get it, that just make us see that you are such a good shepherd to us. And God, we know that the problem is not you, the problem is us. That we are stubborn sheep. That we think we've got it figured out, that we think we're shepherds. God, I pray today that we would all just have a moment where we accept you as our shepherd, that we start today at your feet. With whatever we have in our lives, whatever obstacles and barriers, may we just listen to your voice today. Would you call us? Would you allow us to feel what it feels like to be picked up when everybody else has walked by us? And Father, may we learn to trust you, to take your hand, to accept the cleansing that you want to give our lives. May we start new and fresh today with you. Thank you so much for being a good shepherd. We pray today, may we have surrendered lives and become good sheep. And it is all because of Jesus that we pray these things. The church together.